following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
It is game on. 841-1360-97.5 WTAQ News Talk Sports. In one of the least shocking political announcements in some time, Mary Burke makes it official. She is a candidate, a candidate for the Democratic nomination for governor for 2024 to challenge Scott Walker. We're going to be talking much more about this later in the show. Is it a big deal? Well, yeah, it is, actually. When you look at the recent polls showing that Scott Walker is underwater, i.e. below 50%, that's never good news, and you can spin it any way you want. That is never good news for an incumbent. And virtual unknowns, and at the moment that includes Mary Burke, virtual unknowns within striking distance, 6, 7, 8 points, 48, 41, that sort of thing, which is nothing short of shocking. And as you know, or you may not know, but you will come to know, she has a great deal of personal wealth. The rumors I've heard is she's willing to put anywhere from $5 million to $10 million into a gubernatorial campaign. That would make Jason a formidable candidate. It would. If you had $7 million to spend, not to run against Scott Walker, I'm saying, but if the roles were reversed and you were going to be the Republican nominee to take on a Democrat, if you had $7 million to spend on it, one, I think you would be smart enough not to spend it on a race for governor. But two, if you did, I mean, anybody with a kind of scratch is formidable, unless they're a blithering idiot, which she may be, because we don't know much about her. But all of that later in the show. We're going to have Reed Ribble with an update on what's going on in Washington, 8th District Congressman, in just a moment. Before I do that, I hopefully can do this in about 2 minutes, because that's all that I have. As you know, I have been on a mini crusade concerning a proposed Walmart store for downtown Green Bay. Oh, before I get more on that, next hour we're going to be all over a Wisconsin school district that has virtually canceled Christmas. We're going to get into that. Wanted to let you know about that. We have been all over the Walmart store as well, the proposed Walmart store. Mayor Jim Schmidt, who says it's not about hating Walmart, it's about not being the right fit for downtown Green Bay. Yeah, Jim Schmidt is part of a Facebook group that hates Walmart. And that's out there for any other potential business who would entertain the notion of coming to Green Bay to see. But he seems comfortable with that. And I have to make good on my promise here to get him on the show. I keep saying that. We have to do that. Although the Walmart thing had gone somewhat quiet until yesterday, when Scott Cooper Williams in the local paper had "More Live in Green Bay Food Desert." If you haven't heard the concept of food desert, that is the notion where grocery stores won't go into but typically larger inner city areas because of crimes and other factors. And what they say, and the notion is that poor people are then discriminated against getting healthy food, which leads to their obesity. It's often been said we have some of the fattest poor people, not only in the world, but in history, because the food they do gets very unhealthy for them. And that's the argument. Accept it or not accept it, I'm just saying that's the argument. And that you can't get decent grocery stores in inner cities. I would not describe Green Bay as having an inner city. I don't think it's big enough. I don't think Green Bay is big enough to have an inner city. But it does have, as Williams describes it, a food desert. An area in the downtown, and a lot of this area happens to just coincidentally be right around the artsy-fartsy Broadway district that they so desperately want to protect, do Schmidt and other opponents, by not having Walmart there. A lot of the residents who live in this so-called food desert could benefit from a Walmart. And then it goes on to talk about, his piece talks about how New Leaf is coming in and that they would rather have locally produced produce. A professor from, I think it's UWGB, pointed out, Well, I don't think Walmart's the best choice. I don't even know where they get their food from, for crying out loud. Had a friend staying over for the weekend. He and his wife from Atlanta went to the Packers game with us, and he made a great point. He goes, how about you let the people decide? Rather than UWGB professor saying Walmart's no good for the people in that neighborhood and their foods, how about you let the people decide? And clearly Walmart sees a demand, and they want to be there. Oh, we'll be debating that more in days to come as Walmart finally, formally makes their proposal to the city. Now, however, we want to talk about the latest goings-on in Washington, D.C., the shutdown, what happens next, shutdown entering week two now, and as we will be doing, as his schedule allows, until this is resolved, we are joined by 8th District Congressman Reid Ribble. Reid, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jerry.
Well, I guess the way I'm reading the headlines these days is suddenly John Boehner talking tough. That's the way the media is portraying this. And he's saying, look, he's not going to propose anything now. And it's exactly the pivot that you told us was going to happen. And that is he's now pivoting to the budget at large and entitlement and other issues. And that he's simply not going to budge from this. The liberal argument was this was all about Obamacare. This was all about Obamacare. And that's a non-negotiable item. He has now moved that. So what's your take on where we are today?
Yeah, there's an absolute pivot going on. We're now moving from, it appears to everybody here, that the leadership in both the House and Senate are moving to discussions centered around the debt limit, which we will hit a week from Thursday. And so time is short to come up with some type of agreement to raise the nation's debt limit, pay the country's bills, and extract whatever reforms we can throughout this process. And so that's where the discussion is. So the discussion has really moved off of Obamacare to the broader financial issues that are impacting the country's finances.
I'll ask you the same question I asked you when you first brought this up. This has been all about Obamacare. How is this going to play with what I have dubbed the Ted Cruz caucus?
Well, it's interesting, though, because Ted Cruz and the folks that were originally really staunchly on the repeal Obamacare approach to this thing have moved, particularly Senator Cruz. He was supportive of the last CR that the House did, which fully funded the government and fully funded Obamacare. All it did was realign the launch dates on the mandatory side. It said if the president has the authority to reconfigure the law by executive fiat, the House representative certainly has the authority to reconfigure the launch date because they have the legislative authority to do so by aligning those two things at the same time. So anybody who wanted to voluntarily go into the Affordable Care Act could do that, but the mandate itself would have been aligned with the corporate mandate that the president established.
Whatever issue it is, whether it's something you just described, whether it's spending cuts tied to raising the debt ceiling, all of that, Democrats, and most notably President Obama, remain firm here. They're not going to negotiate on anything. So do you see Speaker Boehner absolutely standing firm?
At this point, it certainly seems that way. My take on this is that both sides have really dug in their heels. And the speaker saying, you're going to have to negotiate. That's not a choice for you. The president, while going out on speeches saying he's been negotiating and wants to negotiate, will negotiate, then moments later will say, we're not negotiating on this, though. And so he is sending very mixed messages, it appears to us, about whether or not there'll be a negotiation. But I can say from past history, certainly in the last several decades, almost every major reform that has happened financially in this country has come centered around this debt limit debate.
So as you said, and the debt limit is growing near, but we're right. This is just interesting, Reid. Now everybody's waiting to see, is somebody going to blink? If somebody doesn't blink, then you're looking at the potential of default.
Yeah, that's correct. And so my sense is that at some point here, reasonable thought leaders will come forward with compromise positions. And I've been working with several Republicans, both from the very most conservative factions of the of our conference to the more moderates, as well as some just immediate left of center Democrats, to begin to try to shift the discussion away from Obamacare into the real systemic threats, and that is how we're managing our entitlements. And how can we reform entitlements to make a savings large enough so that conservatives in the country would agree to an increase in the debt limit with reform offsetting reforms to make the savings in play? And that's where the discussions, I believe, are centered right now.
Yeah, and what I find interesting about that, as we talk with Congressman Reed Ribble, we got to this moment over Obamacare. And it'll be interesting to me then if Republicans essentially concede, as you mentioned, with some potential tweaking, that Obamacare is just going to continue to go into effect.
Yeah, and let's face it, the government shut down, but Obamacare is up and running. And so we know that Obamacare is going to move forward. Now, there are some things that we could do on reforming Obamacare. For example, we could repeal the medical device tax, which has broad bipartisan support. And it's kind of, I'm sure that listeners are listening to this saying, well, if something's got broad bipartisan support, why doesn't that happen?
Yeah.
You know, well, it doesn't happen because politics rule the day in this city. And it's unfortunate that the more pragmatic thought leaders can't get into these discussions a bit more. But I do believe that there'll be some, and let's face it, there's been five or six reforms to Obamacare in the last 18 months. And so the administration is open to having reforms done. They seem resistant at this point in time to do it. And their argument, and the president's argument is, well, we can't have the nation debt limit a bargaining chip. There should be no negotiations, almost implying that he's negotiating with terrorists at some point here. But the fact of the matter, is, this is where negotiations happen and have historically happened. And it would set as bad a precedent to not have a negotiation happen here as it would to have a negotiation happen.
How would you, if you did get the medical device tax out of there, how would you replace that funding for Obamacare?
Well, there's several different things that we could do on the funding because it actually would have to be paid for. And there are ways that we can smooth out. It's a process called smoothing. It gets extraordinarily technical on the pension side, where you look at pension payments over long term and where the interest rates are and what the averages are. There are places that there are levers that can be pulled to pay for it. And then you also have what we all know to be true. We have the economic growth potential. Any type of tax ultimately punishes somebody producing something.
Yeah.
And so you have to figure out how much economic growth would there also be there by not losing these jobs.
Final question, Reed, and this is something that the both parties sort of did agree upon. The Republican-led House passed a bill Saturday to give thousands of furloughed federal workers back pay when the government reopens. Democrats then turn around and said it's a signal that you don't want the shutdown ever to end. Here, I'm going to tell you, I actually disagree with that. When private sector employees are furloughed or laid off for circumstances beyond their control, they don't get paid, Reed.
I agree with you there, Jerry. And so the logical next step is, now that we saw how Democrats voted for that, the logical next step is to say, well, then we should bring everybody back to work immediately.
Yeah. Okay, but that's not going to happen.
This is step one of a 3 or 4 step process that's going on here as we continue to provide vehicles to fund the government and operate normally.
But the end product of that kabuki dance is they're going to get paid for work they didn't do.
That's correct, as they have every single shutdown, I believe. Matter of fact, I'm pretty certain that this is a true statement, but I might have missed one. But every single shutdown that has happened in the past has always retroactively paid furloughed workers.
That doesn't make it right.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. And as a free market guy and as a business guy, I would say what we're doing is we're giving them a paid vacation. And the answer back was, but I think we can bring them back to work this way. And
I have one other unrelated question. The most spun headline of a news release ever from the Obama administration: health insurance marketplace open for business, week one success.
Yeah, that is quite a spin, because it was interesting. I was listening to Congressman Tim Hillskamp from Kansas, who was trying to go online himself, And I think at the time his phone had been on hold for like some god awful amount of hours, mm-hmm. 35 or 40 hours or more. It's a fascinating look as he just, let the phone continue to play the music in the background for hours on end.
Sure.
And so this is difficult to kind of work the way through it here. And we're going to try to figure out the best way to get a path forward so we can put the government back to work, get the fiscal reforms that are necessary so that the American people realize that as debt continues to build in this country, that there is an effort to get it under control.
Congressman Reed Ribble, we'll check in with you again tomorrow.
Thanks, Jerry.
Yep. I said on my blog over the weekend that headline, Health Insurance Marketplace Open for Business Week 1 Success, would be a lot like Hitler issuing a news release that read, Influx of Americans on the beaches of Normandy creates spike in French tourism numbers. Yeah, kind of like that. We appreciate Reed joining us. By the way, Reed's updates from Washington brought to you by Dual Financial Strategies. It's 8:56.
If the stock market crashes tomorrow, are you prepared?